It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
The police!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
The police!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy!
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
The law not only one, it about two or three, right, of the skunk. I'm just saying. Law one, law two, law three, law four. They had a lot of points against me. I'm kidding. I always talk to Troy about stuff like that, but it's mostly the sheriff who gives me grief, right? So you guys are quiet today. This is comedy about me. You can laugh.
Yeah,
it's not about you guys.
We're nervous about being back on the radio.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were excited here.
Oh, I'm excited. We haven't been here since December.
They need to be retrained.
I got to give you some inside baseball here, Jim.
Okay.
So I sent out an email. I don't know how many people were on that. I CC'd about. Well, you were on it, right?
Yes.
It was you, Tracy, Chief Pete, Chief Troy, the assistants, everybody. And because everybody was out at 4:30 on Friday, right? Of course everybody's out but me.
Yeah.
Out of the office. I didn't get any reply back at all, so I called Chief Pete, and I said, hey, you know, are you guys going to be here? Yeah, we'll be there. And I made you the spokesman.
Yeah,
right?
You did.
You are now the PIO for that group.
Well, then I panned it off on Troy real quick, and I'm like,
but I said, that's not going to work.
No, you did.
Chief Pete is the type of guy who organizes the yoga class at the men's retreat. But you're the type of guy, Chief Sterling, that actually is the only one there. Is that fair?
That's fair, yeah.
just like pickleball.
Oh, wait, what? All right, welcome to the show, everybody. I am Paul LaVoy. I am with Brother Jim Russell.
Yes, indeed.
Right? And do you remember what this day is called?
El Dia de los Dos Jefes.
Good job. Right on. Because we have Chief of Police, of course, is Troy Sterling. Chief of Fire, or Fire Chief, is Pete Palafis.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. What do you think of this heat?
Ah, it's coming back.
Yeah.
So
I got to use sarcasm on the news about the heat.
Yeah?
It's a phenomenon that it has happened before. Mm-hmm. Not for 22 years, but right? 22 years ago, we had this kind of heat.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Early March.
Huh.
Yeah. To me, it's hot.
Well, it is hot, but it's good and bad because for the last couple spring breakers, I mean, time, it's been kind of cool. So,
yeah, nice.
I mean,
but don't you catch people off guard that want to go out and hike our trails? And early March.
But the thing is, you have to use common sense. The thing is, especially out in our environment, is this is one of my pet peeves. It's as important. The locals got it down. I think we're all very intelligent. Everybody's very intelligent, but it's the individuals that are coming from the Midwest or somewhere, and they, let's go out and hike. It's not going to be that bad. But then when it starts warming up, we're not properly prepared. We don't have the water, not wearing the right shoes. Maybe you're not physically in shape to go all the way down to the lake.
Because it's too much Valentine's candy or something?
Or something.
Or too much Bud Light.
Well, the thing is, but it also then puts us at risk, too. It puts our firefighter and paramedics at risk to go and rescue them. So it's just very important. Just know your limitations.
And you're saying, look at the thermometer, not the calendar.
Yes. So true.
If I'm making a choice for public service, though, do I want to go police or fire? Who has the coolest, not coolest as in design, the coolest as in temperature uniforms, right? Right there. You guys wear the best in that, but they got to wear the turnout? What are those called?
It's personal protective turnout gear.
Turnouts,
but that's,
yeah.
That's at fires. I mean, when we have fires. But
that stuff's warm.
Oh, it is. It is. They definitely earn their paycheck when they're out there.
So I'm driving people to the police department because you're all set anyway with that
but they still
vocational
gotta wear,
education thing.
True, but they still got to wear their heavy vest and stuff and be outside all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're there to protect you guys.
Yeah, you are.
I think we're retraining Troy today. All right. I want to talk about, especially right now, because last week on Tuesday, we could get nobody in from the city. Everybody was at a budget meeting. And I don't know if they were all saying, you know, because I had people come up to me later and say, how come you didn't have, you know, Jess on Speak Out? Well, it was at a budget meeting. Yeah, but he has other people that can go. I was told that everybody was at the same meeting, right? So how are the budget negotiations or budget processes going for each department? I'll have you start.
So I'll start with the fire department. We just finished our budget review with the city manager and the budget committee. And they basically do this for almost, it's about a week to week and a half.
Was that last Tuesday?
So mine, no. Well, they had it scheduled basically Monday through Friday. Mine was on a Thursday. And what we do is we start working out, I mean, I start working on my budget in October. Just looking at what our needs are and what our strategic outlook is and, you know, what our recruitment, what our retention is going to be, staffing, Station 7, staffing for that. So there's a combination of a lot of things that are going on, but it's always preparing a year in advance and then setting our priorities of what our needs are. And then we go and justify that to the budget committee and city manager of what our needs are. Not so much our wants, just our needs. And then we present that. And the thing is, hey, we all take a big piece of that pie, but we all need to work together is, mm-hmm. And then what are the priorities for city council? What is the priorities for our entire organization? And really, what are the priorities for the community? What do we need? So,
what is your priority right now?
So my priority, at least for this budget cycle, is Station 7. The staffing for it, and I'm preparing for December of 2027 when I have known retirements that are going to occur.
Oh, yeah.
And I have known retirements that are occurring in 2026. So the thing is, we're in public service. I need people to provide that service. I mean, if I had all the engines, the ambulances, everything, I need to put butts in the seat. Okay. I need to have those individuals to provide that service to our community. So that's what our focus is on is the staffing for Station 7, getting Station 7 built, making sure that we have our replacement plan for our vehicles. But again, it really comes down to personnel. That is our number one asset in public safety, let's just say, in public service.
It's your number one cost, too, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you have the retirement plan to contribute to as well, I believe, right?
Yeah, we
State
do.
Retirement?
Yeah, we have the pension system that we have to plan for, but it's just actually getting new people, recruiting, and then getting them on. We're hiring firefighter paramedics. We still have our fire apprenticeship program that's running strong, so that's working out well. And I think we're just in a constant reevaluation of what our priorities are. And it really comes down to, you know, providing the best quality service to the community.
I got you. What about you, Chief Troy?
Yeah, so I was off last week, and so my budget meeting actually takes place this afternoon.
Oh, great.
So
give us a preview.
I'm going to take Pete to lunch today and ask him how it went.
And you sit in for me.
Strategy, yeah. So, no, this year I brought this up at the council planning session of really a solution. Our recruitment is a continuous issue, right? And so what I need to help support patrol operations is looking at a civilian position called the police service technician. So my priority is asking for some positions that we can train these civilian technicians to essentially do some of the low priority calls for service that our police officers are doing. And so it's really a piggyback off of our police service assistant position that we started, I guess it's a year and a half ago now. That one was geared towards our cadets in our cadet program and designing a program that fills that gap between the ages of 18 and 21 before they can go in the police academy. And so that PSA position was what we created. Well, what I noticed with that is, number one, we have three positions. Right now, two of those are filled with two individuals that came out of our cadet program, so very happy with that. But we don't have anybody readily available in the pipeline to fill that third position. And so we opened that up to the public. And so what I found in the application process is a lot of individuals that seem to have an interest in law enforcement, they just don't know if it's for them yet. And so I feel like this police service technician position might be that gap, you know, get some people, get their foot in the door and really see if this profession is for them. And so in the same fold, kind of looking at that win-win, that we can train people up and hopefully make them successful. Maybe they want to become a police officer. Yeah. But in the meantime, we have a solid cadre of individuals that are supporting our police operations. And I use the example of responding to delayed theft reports, minor private property type collisions, taking delayed phone reports, things that I don't necessarily need a police officer to handle, but I have a trained individual that can help support that.
You have a set of eyes, you have a pen or a laptop or a tablet, and somebody that can get
collect the facts, right?
Exactly. And so that's worked very well with our police service assistant position. And, you know, if a case ends up resulting in their investigation results in maybe an arrest needed to be made, then a police officer would take over that case. Okay. And so this is essentially the same concept, just a different title for that position.
I would think that your department, especially in departments in small towns around the U.S., like, you know, like this department, would be bulging at the gates of the HR department, because you have all these big city guys that are from the departments that say, you know, defund and and this kind of thing. Who wants to work in that environment? We don't have that type of environment here at all, do we?
We don't, and that's what we're trying to. We really want to put together a nice recruitment video that really highlights not just the Lake Havasu Police Department, but our city. I mean, what does our city really attract? Yeah. You know, we have a percentage, you know, they say our median, you know, age is 55. Well, we still need to attract the younger, the family-oriented people that want to raise a family here. So let's highlight what this community is about. And a lot of our applicants are people that have spent or have grew up visiting Lake Havasu City, and now they want to come work for Lake Havasu. So we need to highlight that a lot more.
Maybe they want to have fun, though, and they don't want to get busted for having fun. Just saying. So we did talk just briefly about Fire Station 7.
Yeah.
But you were talking about filling it with, you know, people, equipment, that sort of thing. Where are we at in that process of actually building the station?
And Chief, do you get a whole nother box of money for that addition to your department in this year's budget?
I mean, well, Jim,
there must require a great deal more
about
money.
Not literally.
Yeah, there's no box of money.
Okay.
So the thing is, let's just do a real quick version of Budget 101 in government. So we have capital budget. So that would be more of the long-term infrastructure that we have for city facilities. Even I consider is capital as vehicles, because they have a lifespan. So there's a capital improvement fund that is a plan that the city has created and implemented that is, you know, 5 to 10 years, and there are specific items in there. And Fire Station 7 has been in there, so that money has been allocated for that. So it's the thing is, it's just in government, we have a long process of how we get to the end results. So there should be a sign. We actually, this last Tuesday, it would be like Tuesday, Wednesday, we actually sat down with Wilming, which is our contractor, and Perlman is our architect, to finish. We're right at like almost 95 to 100% of construction plans. So this is where we can go out and now get our confirmed 100% plans and our bids of getting the estimated cost of this. So we're there where we can actually submit for permits and go through the process, have the celebration of the groundbreaking of it, and then start the construction of Station 7. So we work with Public Works. We have a project manager. So this is a Public Works project. I mean, obviously a city project. They're in charge of it. I've always kind of been reminded I'm the customer. So I'm the one that's actually making sure that all the needs of a 45 to 50 year old building is going to sustain there and serve that portion of the community for a long period of time. We already currently have the apparatus on order. It's been on order since 2022.
Wow.
And we're finally going to hopefully get delivery of it in 2027.
My word.
So the thing is, we still see a delay in that just for obviously the apparatus.
Yeah.
But also this station is also going to assist us with further storage and blend into the community, so we're part of the community, and it's the perfect spot to serve that portion of the community. But we're hoping, you know, once we start construction, we'll see it sometime in 2027. That's why we're preparing for the staffing of it, the equipment. So everything's, you know what, lining up. It just, I understand, it just seems like it just takes forever.
No,
and I mean, I feel it. I feel like I get older every minute when people ask the question. But it's moving along. It's just a process. And the thing is, we're getting closer and closer where we're going to start seeing some results. And that's what I look forward to. Again, working with our project manager at Public Works, you know, they're the one that's coordinated. We're just sitting there assisting whatever questions that they had. And right before I left for the weekend, we had a rash of questions just to kind of tighten up those plans so we basically can get confirmed pricing. Because this is a construction management at risk where the contractor is going to have to give us a guaranteed max price. So obviously they're going to be, you know, obviously they don't want to go over because then they would have to eat some of that cost.
So is that what was expected when this began, 2027 being operational?
Sure.
yeah, we had it dialed right in.
I mean, everything's been planned. It just seems like we've talked about it because, I mean, Station 7's been talked about for 20 years.
Oh, my.
So the thing is, I want to see this to the finish line. I do. It's a team effort. It's not solely on me as the chief. It's on us as a team to get this to the finish line.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to get some... a nasty gram on this one, right?
No, not you.
But I'm going to say.
Okay, then don't say it.
No, I love saying stuff like that. This, so like if I were on FanDuel, which I'm not, I'm heavily against that type of, you know, gaming.
Yeah.
Online, but if I were, and I were to take a bet for the second pool to be built sometime in 2027, I don't think I would take that one. Although I would have 6 months ago, right? The second pool. No, I'm talking about city projects.
Oh.
When they give you a date, and you're like, okay.
You know, it's difficult.
That's why I had to laugh.
Yeah, I think it's coming. It's hopefully in 2027.
Mm-hmm. When the bid spec goes out, then you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Let's go ahead and take a short break. And this one's just for you, Chief Pete. A little journey, hopefully, if it ever plays. Man, it's been doing this lately, and I just don't get it. So we're going to take a short break. I'm Paul Lavoie. You're listening to Speak Out. And our guests are Chief Pete Palafis from the Fire Department and Chief Troy Sterling from the Police Department. Right? And
yes,
it is
indeed.
Called?
It is what? Called Speak Out?
No. The name of Dia de...
Oh, El Dia de los Dos Jefes.
You're killing me, Jim.
Wow.
The best call in the business for nothing. I do. All right. Little journey for Chief P. There, you know, 3 or 4 hour delay, and there you go. I'll just push the play button at 6 a.m. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Whiny boy Lavoie at his best again. All right. I've got rodeo tickets, but I don't have an assistant that will come up here and get the specifics because I wanted her to take the phone call. And I just sent her the tickets. So I will talk about those before the next break, and we'll give them away the next break, right, for the Laughlin Stampede.
Nice.
These are box seats from Leo Biasucci, right? Nice. So it'll be for the next break if I can get my assistant's attention in a text, right? All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Text us also at 928-727-5566, or you can call in 928-854-KNTR. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Speak Out, a little Journey. One of my favorite Journey songs anyway, Faithfully, right? You heard that song before, Jim?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just curious because every time I see you at an event, you're listening to, you know, Little GTO or something. I don't know if you stay
current.
That's
what they pay me to listen to.
I gotcha. Speaking of which, there's a car show coming up, Troop Box Convoy.
Oh, yes.
They do a great job.
Yeah, they do.
Mike White was here
yes.
along with the two ladies on Friday. And this is on March 28th, which is a Saturday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. They're going to do the free breakfast burritos again. This thing's you know what they turn on this thing for revenue?
No.
$30,000 and up.
Oh, that's great.
$30,000. That's a nice fundraising day right there.
Yeah,
so,
indeed.
And they, of course, send those troop boxes to our troops and who are in harm's way.
Put on by nice guys and gals.
Exactly. All right. Speak Out brought to you in part by City Maytag, because this is the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink.
Well, the toy sink.
Yeah, I don't count it anymore. Plus, okay. Wayne hasn't called me in a while, so yeah. I don't have to say it if I don't want to. I'm kidding, Wayne.
You'll teach you.
Wayne's a good guy. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys and girls. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. There you go.
Great companies.
Pretty awesome.
Yes, all
keep it local, folks, for sure. If you missed any part of this show or want to hear any of our other shows, there's a lot of good political stuff that's coming up as well with qualified candidates. Go to KNTRtalk.com. Man, we're getting more and more and more people calling. You know, I want to be on Speak Out, and I have to tell them you have to be a qualified candidate. Well, what is that? That means you turned in your petitions, and then you're on the ballot. So now they're calling back. Because they're qualified candidates. So, anyway, we are scheduling that starting in June, I believe, after the first week. That'll be our 45-day period to where I don't remember the term right offhand. It's a bad Jeopardy day again.
Let's change the subject.
When your opponent, you know, is on, then you have to have their opponent. So, there you go.
Response.
All right. The graffiti tagger. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Got him.
Am I there?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay.
You're here. I don't remember the name or anything, and I don't like saying suspects' names on the radio. Anyway, why glorify him?
Yeah.
Right?
So you want to talk about that case? The one that we...
I want to talk about it because Silent Witness had such a big part in it.
It did, actually. So that was a really good case that was put together. Our street crimes unit took the lead on that, but... Really what started this is some citizens reporting graffiti. We have some active ones in our community that make sure that things are reported to us. And so we start investigating, we see the similarities in the tags that they're called. And so with that, our street crimes unit typically gets assigned those cases because they can start putting together the patterns and help identify the culprit. Well, in this in particular case, I think we ended up having about 12 or 13 different cases, and we got to a point where we needed the public assistance. And so with that, obviously, we always try to use Havasu Silent Witness the best we can for reward, offering reward monies, and put out a press release to the public. And we got some helpful tips that steered our street crimes unit in the right direction. Now, there was a lot of legwork that went involved in this in particular case, utilizing social media platforms. That's a typical good investigative tool for us. And what ended up happening is they were able to not identify the individual, but identified some features or some patterns in their life that our detectives were able to follow up on. And it's public record now because the case has been adjudicated. But essentially, there was a picture of an animal that our suspect was portraying in social media platforms. And so our detectives went to all the different places in town that, you know, vet shops, to see if they could identify this animal. And sure enough, they were able to do that, and it linked us to the actual name of the suspect.
You're talking about like a furry?
A furry, that's correct.
No kidding.
Yeah.
A furry got the guy busted?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And no, so that's ultimately,
like that's like the ultimate in cosplay justice, man.
It was just, I mean, but it's just a testament to the amount of legwork that went into a case like that to be able to track that down and identify the person. From there, then the legwork could continue on with pulling up information on this individual, which resulted in a lot of, you know, essentially surveillance to try to capture this person in the act. That didn't take place, but they were able to get this individual out of their residence, and they took him into custody without incident, which led to the search warrant back into the home, and during that encountered some paraphernalia associated with the graffiti, and ultimately the charges were filed, and that individual took a plea agreement. Of course, we have very strict city ordinances as far as the the fines, the jail sentence that goes along with that, and he was sentenced to the maximum, which ended up being 6 months of jail time for those acts of graffiti. So it was a very good, solid case all the way through from start to finish. Of course, graffiti hasn't stopped in our community, and so always encourage the public's assistance. But what was cool, and Paul, I know you really want to highlight this, but there was reward money that was paid out to two individuals that submitted their tips that helped lead to the ultimate positive conclusion.
Yeah, that's great.
That's the part that surprised me is I thought we had one, and then we had two, then they split the $1,500.
Yeah.
So it's really important. I hate to keep harping on this, and when you see me at events at the Silent Witness display, you know, that doesn't, Chief Troy doesn't just say, hey, you know, city manager, I need a disbursement for $1,500. He doesn't do that.
Right. Uh-huh.
We do that. We raise that money. We sell donations from board members, donations from the community, what have you, and then we gather that money, keep it in a fund, obviously, and then when Chief says, well, I don't know who makes the determination to offer $1,500, right, but it was important enough to, and then we provide that.
Well, how great did it work?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really neat.
No, and when we're asking for the public's help, we really need it. In a case like that, just a little piece may steer us in the right direction, and that's what happened in this case.
Well, when we're looking for an arsonist, God forbid, you know, hopefully it's not a guy dressed as a fire-breathing dragon, right?
Yeah, I hope not.
Just saying. What in the world? It's like tattoos get people busted all the time.
True.
You don't, I mean, furry, that's kind of a big in stature, right? A 6 foot tall, whatever kind of animal it was. It's funny to me. It's just funny how people think sometimes. But I have to give a salute to Sergeant Huerta.
Yes.
Because he came and briefed the group, the board, and he's very passionate about what he does. So
yeah, I know for sure. And I think just to give kudos to Sergeant Ian Daly, who was overseeing the street crimes unit. The transition took place with Sergeant Huerta taking over. So both of those sergeants had a play in the ultimate investigation. But yeah, additional cases continue to stream in, and that's where Sergeant Huerta is taking that you know, him and his squad taking that very personally, you know, because we don't want to see the graffiti in our town.
Yeah.
I think our citizens agree with that mentality, and so we try to get it cleaned up, but also try to make arrests if
just
we can.
Me personally, this is me. I don't want to see furries in our town either, but there you go. All right, question for the Chiefs on the text line, 928-727-5566. In regards to recruiting, are our housing costs keeping potential candidates from living in Lake Havasu City? Housing costs.
Not having information to back this up, I would say yes. All right. I will say that we've had prior candidates, not just for the police department, but citywide. There have been applicants that have been given job offers that have declined the job offers once they figured out they couldn't afford to live here. And so that has occurred. That's not a secret. Usually it's just hard for, I'll speak for the police department, the recruitment aspect has been very difficult because what I see is individuals that submit their applications, but they haven't given real thought to what it takes to work in this profession. And so they're just looking more for a job versus this is a career path.
Yeah.
And so they haven't really given, you know, the sacrifice that goes into, you know, being held accountable, being held to high standards, those type of things. And then they get through this process and they may get past the really simple physical fitness test to get to the interview. The interview is where you can see if they've given any thought at all. Number one, what's a good question? What do you know about the Lake Havasu City Police Department or Lake Havasu City? And when the answer is nothing really, okay, you didn't give this much thought at all, right? And today, you know, with the internet, you can go on there and you can really prepare yourself for an interview pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And people aren't even taking that step. And so I'm not going to give them an opportunity. They need to showcase that they're actually doing some research and they're preparing themselves for this career. And so that's where, when I talk about the high standards, you know, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but it truly is, you know. And so, and we'll, you know, those individuals that seem to have that promise, we're going to educate them on the way out the door. Hey, you didn't pass this test, but maybe for the future, you do some ride-alongs, learn more about the profession, learn from the officers doing the job. And so take some initiative to learn more if you're truly interested. And so we leave them with that. And we do have those repeat ones that come back, and they took our advice, and they did well.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'd look favorably upon those people.
Absolutely, yes.
For taking the initiative and showing that they now have thought about it more and want to be here.
Exactly right.
Yeah, very good.
All right. We're getting a lot of response off the text line right now. I've got one that was, they wanted their question answered off the air. And then I've got another one that's about senior citizens on patrol. So a lot of questions there. And
when we come back,
yes, sir.
Can I at least do my part of that question? Because we just got Troy's.
You know, that's unusual.
No, it's
that
not.
It was long enough to...
I know.
I forgot that we asked both of you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Wow. We got to retrain the host, too. All right, and I've got a question from the text line, so we've got a full agenda for sure.
They're not just listening.
No, they're participating.
Yeah,
I like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, back with more in a moment, and you can call in as well, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687, if you want to talk to Police Chief Troy Sterling or Fire Chief Pete Palafis or maybe Jim too.
That's true.
I don't know. We'll see. All right. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Oh, the rodeo tickets. Call the office. I have a 4-pack of rodeo tickets. 928-855-9336. 928-855-9336. We had Leo Biasucci texted me and said, hey, man, I got rodeo tickets. I can't use them.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to take?
They're not general admission tickets, folks. They're in Leo's the box.
Oh, cool.
The ringside box. Yes, absolutely. So Marissa has those. She'll get them to you. 928-855-9336. And talk to Marissa. Con her out of them, right?
Yeah.
Stay with us. We'll be right back on Speak Out. Here's a little Alabama for you, Chief.
I'll take it.
All right.
17. I bought a Coke and some gasoline, and I drove out to the county fair. When I saw her for the first time, she was standing there in the ticket line, and it all started right then and there.
I think what I like best about that song, Jim, is that he can sing it like this, right? I mean, to be able to sing with that dialect, man, that takes some talent, Troy. Okay, you did talk. I was looking for you. There you go. You're good. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by somewhere where my stuff's not buried here, I guess. I'm going to have to get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Why is it buried?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You're not running your desk well.
I got it. No, I'm not. Also brought to you by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center, also Springburg Wealth Management. I should just put you in charge of the billboards when you're here. Also, the Chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, by Solar Power, by SMA Electric, Dorita's Place, and Legacy Rehab and Care. And don't forget, which should we go with? Bye Bye Local? Bye Local, or it's Bye Bye Local?
Yeah, indeed.
Did you get any rest this weekend?
No. We're working on Desert Storm.
Oh, the question is,
heavy,
did I?
Heavy.
A little bit, but not enough. Right? Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, we're going to kind of dovetail off of that question. And do you want me to read the question again?
No, I got it.
Okay.
So the question is, just to really piggyback off of what Troy was talking about, is the cost of housing and living in Lake Havasu an issue with us for recruitment? And it is one of the contributing factors that many need to look at least on the fire department side, is we don't require you to live here. So I have individuals that
actually do not?
No.
Interesting.
I'm glad I'm clearing this error of would we like you to be part of the community? Absolutely.
What about the county?
So no. As long as you can come to work and make it to work, because we're on a 48-96 schedule. So they work for 2 days and then they're off for four.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So it's conceivable for someone to live in Bouse and commute in for 2 days.
I mean, someone could live in Montana and commute in.
Uh-huh.
Wow. I mean, it's personal choice. So would I rather you be here? The one struggle we do have is that when we have a big incident and I need a call back, I don't have those resources here.
Oh,
but
sure.
But the thing is, I mean, we have enough that do live here. For like our command staff, I want you to live here. Fire marshal wants you to live here. It is because you're up in the higher level of our organization, where you're representing our community. You need to live in the community, or at least in the surrounding areas. But the thing is, I also, it's depending on where you're at in your life. And I mean by that, are you married? Are you single? That has a lot of contributing factor. But obviously, cost and having a livable wage is important too. But we have individuals that live in Phoenix, in the Valley area, and work out here and commute.
Yeah.
So the thing is, just a straight answer with the question is, it's a contributing factor of many factors that individuals need to look at. I think as a city, we lay everything out for you to understand what our benefits and what we have to offer you: healthcare, pension, sick leave, holiday pay. We basically lay that all out for you so you know. The thing is, you have to do your research. You have to see if this is the right choice for you, and are you the right choice for us? So, again,
you set a great example. You set a high bar for that personally, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You did. What did you watch? 10 months of city council meetings?
Well, the thing is,
I can't even watch 10 minutes of city council sometimes. I'm just saying.
Well, the thing is, I think it's so important, and we have a fire marshal, division chief, open right now. And we had a couple of applicants submit in. And then they call me and ask questions. And I say, hey, I will give you – ask me the question. I said, I'll give you the resources. Like Troy said, we put out all our annual reports. The budget is a public record. Look at it. This is where our salaries – those are all open to the public to look at. It's just some people, like Troy said, search for that position. It's like, oh, I want to be a chief.
Mm-hmm.
But do you really want to? Do you want to be one here?
Uh-huh.
The thing is the family going to like it here? I mean, you have to look at it in all aspects. But yes, I did. I did look at the budget. I looked at the city manager, the coffee with the mayor. I mean,
you saw that the size of the city, the size of the budget, the people, the places, the things were all a good fit for you. Right?
It was a good fit for me, and then obviously I was a good fit for them because they hired me.
I'm still mad at people for that. I'm kidding.
Don't worry. I got my 6-year anniversary coming up April 11th. So.
Wow, six years.
I had mine here on March 1st.
Yeah.
So you were right after I got here.
See, but I truly love the community. Even though small town, everything, the thing is we take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is for me as a chief, the number one priority is obviously the assets that we have are the people here.
Yes.
And the thing is that doing the job. And obviously it's the community. It's all of us. So I don't do stuff for just me. I do it for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not sure. Sorry, Jim.
Okay,
we have very
ahead.
Little time and
go
I have
ahead.
A text question. Even though it's a little subjective, I'm just going to warn you on that, Chief. It's not bad, but it I don't know. There's an allegation here. Police Chief question. Senior citizens on patrol is issuing parking tickets in a selective manner. Okay, not issuing tickets to people in front of Calvary Church parked incorrectly, but tickets to people in the first in front of Anderson Motorsports right up the street. Why is there selective enforcement, and why can't these senior citizens on patrol not just issue a warning ticket of a $95 ticket? Why does it always have to be a ticket, not just a warning, I guess? I don't know. Yeah. Is there what would constitute selective enforcement?
Well,
That's kind of a big charge.
I'm going to correct one thing.
Yeah,
go ahead. Not senior citizens on patrol. It's citizens on patrol.
Thank you.
And so it could be of any age.
I was just
really.
Reading it.
But yes, so it is citizens on patrol, and we do have – it's a volunteer program. And those volunteers do go through a pretty hefty training program before they can go out and they typically work in pairs. And they go out, and their priorities from our perspective is to handle – parking violations. And so their big focus is handicap violation parking areas. But they also do a lot with parking out of spaces, different things. And so as the group has become more experienced, they now expand. The playbook's open to them. And so if they find violations, then they've been given the green light to give tickets. Now, I want to caveat that yes, I have learned of situations, areas that were given tickets where tickets haven't been given in that maybe area in years or even ever. Mm-hmm. And so the conversations that have been given down from me is that it's okay for us to give warnings in specific areas to give people the opportunity to know what the law is. And to correct that. And then at a certain point in time, then we start giving out the tickets. And so, yes, that came with an education piece that has come along with this volunteer program. And so I understand where the question's coming from, but understand that I've also been aware and made aware of those situations, and we're doing what we can to remedy those.
Do you work with Citizens on Patrol, Jim, or is that a different organization?
No.
Who's the organization that you guys work with that offers support at events from the city?
CERT, we don't.
CERT, thank you.
Yeah.
CERT, I knew I was close. There was a C in there anyway.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yeah, CERT at the Balloon Festival, the Run to the Sun.
Are they under
so
you?
So forth.
No,
they're under
the fire department.
Oh, fire department.
Yes,
there you go.
And they're a great resource, excellent organization.
Yes.
And they do provide a lot of great support, but they are operated underneath the fire department.
Well, I think the other thing, too, I'm going to speak to the two chiefs here, but there's a lot of decision-making to be had in some of those situations where you're talking about volunteers, right?
Right.
And they're making decisions. So cut them a little slack. You know, at least they're out there helping, right? Yeah.
And that's our intent. There's no ill intent behind you know those things. It's they see a problem, they address it because there is an ordinance or a law that is already in existence to support the ticket. So it's not like the ticket's invalid. It's just we would like to get compliance first.
Right. Mm. How did I get that wrong?
You get a lot of things.
No, I'm just saying. The certain things. Is there too much in the hard drive now? I have to purge it.
Or there's cloudiness.
Yeah. Today there is.
Yes.
Today there is.
But I appreciate
the turmeric's not helping.
No.
Not at all. All right. Great show, guys.
Yeah.
Another successful run. Right.
Welcome back.
Welcome yeah. back, yes.
What do you call that when you go out on your shift and you come back successfully?
Successful shift.
Yeah. There you go.
A great day.
I think there is some overload involved here.
All right. We're going to take a short break. I'll let you know who's on tomorrow. And it's going to be a good week, I think. It's going to be warm, right?
Yeah.
Stay hydrated, folks. All right. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. So that's a song called Drink in My Hand. Reminding everybody, be safe tomorrow. It's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yes.
Please,
yes.
Be safe.
Yeah, don't drink your green beer and drive.
No, you know what? There's Ubers everywhere now, yeah. Even in the tri-state area, believe it or not. And there's people at the bar that care about you.
Sure.
They want your business. They don't want to know that you left and you got tossed. All right? So call a friend or phone a friend at the bar, whatever. Say, you know, call somebody.
Yeah, or just watch the drink.
Just network, all right? All right, on tomorrow's show, a first-timer.
Okay.
County, or District 2 County Supervisor Rich Lettman. All right.
Oh, very good.
Hannity's up next.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.